In an age of computers and anime, two-dimensional hand-drawn animation may seem quaintly old-fashioned. 50 years ago, though, some of that animation was groundbreaking. Take the cartoon Gerald McBoing-Boing, a short film based on a Dr. Seuss story. Animation critic Charles Solomon has this tribute.
This is the story of Gerald McCloy and the strange thing that happened to that little boy. Well, when he started talking, you know what he said? He didn't talk words. He went instead.
Gerald McBoing-Boing began as a poem by Dr. Seuss about a little boy who speaks in sound effects rather than words. Gerald's inability to communicate leads to rejection from his schoolmates and parents.
Then months passed, and Gerald got louder and louder, till one day he went like a big keg of powder. It was then that his father said, "This is enough! He'll drive us both mad with this terrible stuff!"
The UPA studio created this cartoon. It won the Oscar for Animated Short in 1950, and Life magazine ran a two-page spread on the film. Gerald and the other cartoons by its director, Robert Cannon, introduced sophisticated two-dimensional designs and new styles of movement into animation.
I love Gerald McBoing-Boing.
Genndy Tartakovsky is the animator behind the Cartoon Network show Star Wars, Clone Wars. He admires the way Gerald's director let the scenes flow into each other. It was a novel approach to animation at the time, but typical of Robert Cannon's work.
It was so wonderful the way he guided through the scenes with the characters. Like, he'd ride his little scooter from the house into the park or something like that, and it was great. It took it out of the box. He could have just cut like anything normal, it would have worked fine. But instead, they found a creative solution that gave it a signature.
That signature look is evident in this scene, where Gerald glides from his house to the playground. He can't join the boys playing marbles or the girls jumping rope because he can't talk to them.
But as little Gerald grew older, he found when a fella goes, no one wants him around. When a fella goes, he can't have any pals and is frightened to gals.
Instead of conventionally painted scenery, Cannon uses a block of solid brown to suggest the playground, with just a few lines to indicate the trees, the jump rope, and the circle of marbles. All the characters are vivid outline figures who appear just long enough to play their parts. Cannon begins each scene where the previous one ended, following a continuous line through the 7-minute film. The continuity is something Tartakovsky appreciates.
It's all about the focusing the eye and guiding the eye. It's just like a painting. You know, when you make a painting, usually you'll look at one place and it'll guide you through it, and it'll bring you back into the painting, and you can stare at it forever. That's the sign of a great painting. And so in animation and in filmmaking, you want to do that.
Cannon would have agreed. He was influenced by Picasso, Matisse, and the other modern painters. The flattened perspective, stark shapes, and bright colors of the film echo the canvases of those masters. The cartoon ends with Gerald winning fame and fortune doing sound effects for radio westerns. The story of Robert Cannon and the UPA animators also ends happily. Their innovative approach eventually revolutionized the look of popular cartoons. For NPR News in Los Angeles, I'm Charles Solomon.
Now Gerald is rich. He has friends. He's well fed. Because he doesn't speak words, he goes instead.
Animation critic Charles Solomon lives in Los Angeles. Day to Day is a production of NPR News with contributions from Slate.com. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Chadwick.